Blog Talk Radio.
This is Darkwing Duck, the Mallard of Might, and you're listening to the Dennis Daniels Show. Let's get dangerous.
From Daniels Studios in Cincinnati, Ohio, it's the Dennis Daniels Show. Tonight's guest, voice actress Michelle Ruff, and your announcer, me, Belle Dandy. And now, here's your host. He is Cincinnati's next big radio personality, Mr. Dennis Daniels.
And girls and children of all ages, it's me, it's the good old Double D, or as you probably hear by now, Fandango. Sorry, not as good as the original. And you have tuned in to Blog Talk Radio's hottest talk show, The Dennis Daniels Show. I am, as always, the one, the only, kind of like the Fujiko of Blog Talk Radio, because I'm always stealing the show, and your girlfriend, great Ziggler reference, Dennis Daniels. And folks, I am proud to say that this installment of the Dennis Daniels Show, right now, let it be known, 11.02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, June 12, 2013, our 100th episode on the Shrimpcast. That's right, 100 episodes. And I am so excited, and there's no better way to celebrate 100 episodes than by kicking off our summer season here on Blog Talk Radio. For those who have listened to us for a long time, we've been going every summer to bring you the bigger guests, the bigger names, and the best interviews that you can find, as something we like to call the Summer of Biggerness 3333333333. So we are officially on the road to the 20th anniversary of Otakon, and summertime means everything's bigger, hotter, and better on the Dennis Daniels Show. And you don't got to look any further than our guest tonight. I mean, one of her characters has flames on her bikini top. So right there, indication this show is going to get really, really hot. It's going to get so hot, you might have to turn on your AC and crank it up to the max so you don't melt your speakers. Because tonight on the Dennis Daniels Show, we have got voice acting great Michelle Ruff. And yes, it's going to be a rough interview on me because, oh, heaven and mercy. Oh, my goodness. Some of the voices that she has done just could melt you. I think that she's best known, and this is just my opinion, you can take it for whatever you want, as the seductive, sassy, sexy, spectacular, and just so seductive Fujiko Mine from the iconic Lupin III. So officially having her on the show means we're restarting up Project Lupin. Now, for those who don't know, Project Lupin is where we highlight the four people that made the original Lupin III that was on Adult Swim, what it was, and how it played a major impact in my love for anime. Because, you know, when I was in high school, I was, you know, getting bored with the same old anime, the Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, Kenshin, Sailor Moon. And I had a friend in high school, he would record Adult Swim for me and the anime stuff that was on there. And, of course, one show was Lupin III, and after seeing that first episode, and I'll never forget it, it was a safe bet. Seeing that episode got me hooked on this awesome show, awesome cast, and when I got my radio program, I had to get them all on there. Now, of course, in 2011, we had Richard Epcar, who's best known as Jigen, so that was really cool, but we kind of hit a bit of a bump to doing the interviews, so we kind of put it on hold. But now we can get it back on the road with Project Lupin. And you got to look no further in Lupin the Third than the seductive Fujiko Mine. That's Mine, not mine, Mine. What is it about Fujiko that makes her so attractive, seductive, and smart? I think it's because, well, look at her name, Fujiko. In Japanese, that translates to mountain peaks of Fuji. Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great joke. But anyway, you know, she doesn't have to be the strongest person on the gang. She doesn't have to be, you know, the fastest. She plays with her mind and her body. A deadly combination. Ooh. Of course, she does favorite the Browning M1910. So if she does ever need to pull out a gun or so, she's well armed. Oh, gosh, I love me some Fujiko. But anyway, aside from Fujiko, she's also known as Yoko Littner from the popular Gurren Lagann, who's, you know, Fujiko-esque. She's got a giganto gun, you know, just point it up there and go, pew, 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 pew. And she's very popular as well. And another iconic character, of course, Yuki Nagato from Haruhi Suzumiya. You know, the one that talked like this and showed no emotion. Kind of had a howl aspect to her. And of course, she's also Chi from Chobits, Rukia Kukichi from Bleach. Oh, and nobody tell her, I got Rukia some of that soul candy, but I got her the duck, not Chappie the Rabbit. You'll see why later. But anyway, I can't do enough justice just talking about it, so here's a small demo reel of some of the roles that make Miss Ruff so incredible.
Gino, you've got to pull it together. We're not going to be able to kick anyone's butt if we don't get off this conveyor belt. Now, untie my hands so I can activate the tension beam.
This is great. On our own, with no parents to tell us what to do, or give us food, or protect us from bears, or tell us where we are. Cool, huh?
No, sorry. Pink is not the new black. Black is the old black. Well, it's not working because you're smiling. You can't smile and wear black. Hello?
Well, I could play Chatterbug all day.
Okay, then. Hop on.
I'm gonna get ready for the dizziest ride ever.
Is it true that he's killing innocent people?
Well, why are we all just standing here? I'm heading out now.
I know the route to Spearfish.
Yeah, giddy up. Let's go, boss.
Sales Lady Rat.
Can I help you, hon?
Sales Lady Rat.
You want me to try that on?
Sales Lady Rat.
You look great in that.
Sales Lady Rat.
No, you don't look bad.
Sales Lady in the house.
Welcome to the world of Crestoria. A bellboy, Hebble, will handle your bags. Hebble! Hebble!
This is my key card. Take it to the T-Tech lab building downtown. It'll give you access to restricted areas. Believe me, Agent Suarez, this isn't something I would say if I didn't fully believe it to be true.
Come on, dude. Of course you can do it. Well, let me offer you a little motivation. Chicks dig rock stars.
Beware what you say, for you are still mortal and open to the same weaknesses he and his brothers displayed. If you are to lay claim to my power, show that you are worthy.
Hello? Oh, hi. I've been waiting to hear from you all day. So, how'd it go last night? No way. He did not say that. What a loser.
Opera. What a more boring thing if I ever did see it. Singing, making a big deal over nothing. Well, just get married already. That's what I say.
I have trapped you here in the spirit realm. Your master may have fled, but you won't get away.
There is no escape for you.
You know, the whole idea of this dance makes my blood boil. It's a cruel joke the school system plays on its students to make people like us feel like losers.
Yep, I knew it. Dad's lost.
No, he's not. Just because we've driven by the same building 3 times in a row does not make a person lost.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you know, there's more life than television and video games. Oh, I know. Why don't I go inside and make some peanut butter and oatmeal sandwiches?
Oh, Steph, it's a great haircut. You know, no one can pull off that
shapeless, Frizzy. I have no taste at all. Look better than you.
I think there's something endearing about a guy who still likes me even after the rubber band from my braces pops off and snaps him in the forehead.
Dear. Your pants are so low, the top of your buttocks are showing. Now, unless you're planning on performing in this evening's rendition of the Buttcracker Ballet, I suggest you march right back upstairs and change. Go, go, go!
That was a pretty good, doing some accents there. I like that sales lady rap. You know, sales lady rap, but do. Kind of gotta write me a Fujiko rap now. Fujiko rap, she's got the looks. She Fujiko rap, and then she gets her hooks. Fujiko rap, she thinks she's the best. Fujiko's rap, she's got the very biggest smile. I'm kidding, of course. But anyway, let's get right into this. I'm excited. My guest is a very talented voice actress who many know best as Rukia Kukichi from Bleach, which you can catch Saturdays at midnight on Toonami, Yoko Littner from Gurren Lagann, Yuki Nakato from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, and of course the iconic Fujiko Mine from Lupin the Third, and she reprises her role in the brand new Lupin the Third, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, which hits shelves July 30th. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, give it up for the one, the only, Miss Michelle Rowe! Miss Ruff, thank you, and welcome to the Dennis Daniels Show.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, and welcome to the Dennis Daniels Show.
Thanks for having me. I was going to do like the crowd goes wild, but you already had that all done for me.
Well, we got to make you feel like you're the best guest on the show. And I almost said something else I shouldn't have. But anyway, it's a really big honor to have you on. I got to tell you, you've been in a lot of great shows that are just, you know, just so top-notch. And again, whether people love you as Yoko Littner from Gurren Lagann, Chi from Chobits, Yuki Nagato from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, or just because Fujiko is the best. Best, I mean best.
You got it out. There you go.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I promised myself I wouldn't do these jokes, but I gotta.
No, you gotta. It's just, so, but, you know, her character lends itself to that, doesn't it?
Yep. But you know, she, you know, that's, again, you know, she uses that to her advantage, and that's what makes her so incredible. And of course, you know, I've seen a lot of variations of the voices for Lupin. No one can do it better than you. No one can do it, which is why I was so happy. Which is why I was so happy to hear that you were going to be redoing your character in the new Lupin the Third series, The Woman Called Fujiko, which hits DVD shelves and stores July 30th from Funimation. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. So, what got you interested in acting?
When I was going to college, I was studying video and radio production. I was a producer for a while. And I worked at a talent agency. I was a booking agent, basically, for a while. And the guy that I worked for sent me up on an audition for a radio spot. And I was like, no, I'm not. You know, I'm behind the scenes. I'm behind the scenes. He's like, just go and do it. So I went, and I ended up booking the spot, which, to my surprise, I heard it on the radio, like, the week after, without being notified from the people who used my spot. They just took my audition and put it on the radio. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So that was kind of the start of it. And it's been full speed ahead ever since. I mean, I did little things while I was going to college. I went to Michigan State. And then I moved to Chicago, and I really started pursuing it there.
Well, it sounds like, you know, that little misstep got you into a career that just, you know, has just been out of the park. For those who don't know, Michelle has, according to BehindTheVoiceActors.com, over 170 different credited roles so far in her career. And, of course, you know, that ranges. Yeah, I know. That's a lot. And, I mean, we're talking, you know, all kinds of great characters. And, you know, some small, some big. I'm gonna refrain from making another joke. I'm gonna pull away.
No, it's okay.
Gotta maintain some professionality on this show. And then again, professionality and Dennis Daniels show are two words that you don't normally mix together.
They don't
but,
go together, right?
Yeah, like oil and water. But anyway, you were talking about going to Michigan State. Do you have any kind of education in acting?
I do. I am improv trained. So after Michigan State, I took some acting classes while I was at State, but then once I moved to Chicago, I got with Second City.
Hello? Uh-oh, it would appear that we just got dropped. Hang on one second. Let me, hang on. Let's try this again. Uh-oh. Oops. Confound it, interwebs. Ugh. Give it a second. Hello, so, sorry, Michelle, we got it. We seem to have gotten dropped there.
Oh, bummer.
Okay. Gosh. Okay, so let's take that from the top again. You said you had some education at Michigan State. So, do you have any kind of education in acting?
Yes, I'm improv trained in Chicago, from Chicago. So after I graduated from Michigan State, I was a producer for a while, and then I moved to Chicago and I took Second City and Improv Olympic and Players Workshop classes and a lot of different acting classes. I was in theater, I did children's theater, and I took a lot of voiceover classes and did a demo while I was in Chicago. And then when I moved to California, when I moved to LA, I continued. You're always taking classes, always. Like it never ends because you got to keep up with the times, you know, because the industry changes and you got to change, you know, you have to learn how to change with it. And the only way to do that is to take class, you know, to learn.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture taking improv in Chicago. I can picture Romeo and Juliet go, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Hey, shut up there, you mook. I'm over here having a bit of cheesecake there. You know, shake down, you know, home of the baby back ribs, and a certain team in 2014 will be hoisting a Super Bowl trophy, the team known as the Bears."
The Bears.
And home to a certain voice actress who is head above soldiers, Da Ruffs. Da Ruffs.
Da Ruffs. Apples. Da Ruffs.
Da Bears.
Da Bears.
Yeah, the top three things that came out of Chicago. Chicago Bulls.
Da Bulls. Da Bears.
Well,
the Ruffs.
Yeah, the Ruffs. No. It's no, all right. Four things: the Bulls, the Bears, CM Punk, and Michelle Ruff. So, okay. Anyway, blogtalkradio.com. This is the Dennis Daniels Show. We've got Michelle Ruff on the air, best known as Fujiko Mine from Lupin the Third, and she reprises her iconic role in Lupin the Third, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, which hits shelves July 30th. So, how do you personally prepare to audition for a role?
Well, it depends on the role, you know, if it's, and I know this is one of your questions, but we'll skim over it right now. If it's a video game, it's a different type of audition than it is from, let's say, a commercial, you know, and a commercial audition is different from original animation. So everything has kind of its own vibe. But one thing that remains true for every single audition is that good at acting skills. I mean, they're not just looking for a pretty voice anymore. You know, it's not about announcery type reads. They really want to hear. Like if you're selling, let's say I'm doing an audition for McDonald's. So they really want to hear you selling their product, like really, but it's like no selling announcery reads. So they want real people who can act, you know, they want to hear you enjoying their product and loving their product. So an audition for something like that is going to be a little bit different from, let's say, an audition for Cartoon Network. You know, if it's like a cartoony read. I have to go through the copy and come up with a character and, create a character and then, go from there and lay it down. A lot of reads we do at home now. A lot of people record auditions from home. So, and then you edit it and you send it in to your agent.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. I think if you sold some from McDonald's, everybody would buy it.
Well, you tell McDonald's that, will you?
Yes, I will. I just the one thing I don't recommend is trying to sell a Big Mac as Yuki, because contents contain 200% vegetable oil. I can't think of that off the top.
Patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Oh, and then you got the robotic ba-da-da-da-da. that's a great joke. Just a little bit. Oh boy. Yes, but no, I mean that demo reel right there just, showed the incredible range that you have as a voice actress and why I think you've been, so successful for so many, many years. Like I was saying before the interview, I can remember watching, Digimon season 4, and of course that was with the spirit, the thing where you swipe. That was the third one. The Frontier, Digimon Frontier. I can never remember those. And listening to guys like you and Steve Bloom and Crispin Freeman, do this awesome show, these guys are so good, and then to watch guys in other shows, like Lupin, like Cowboy Bebop, like Fooly Cooly, like Haruhi Suzumiya, like Lucky Star, it's so cool that you guys continue to evolve with your craft and make these characters that have just become icons in the anime industry.
That's cool. That's cool to hear that. Because we just, especially with anime, it's like you're in the booth by yourself, and you're doing a character, and you never know how it's going to be received. You never know what people are going to think of it, or how it's going to end up sounding in the end. You just go in there, and for me, I just pour my heart into it and hope that it sounds, hope that it passes the test, because the fans are the biggest, fans are fans, but they're also the biggest critics. So if fans aren't happy, then you have to work harder. You got to get in there and work a little harder.
Yeah, well, sometimes the fans can be a little jerkish. I remember back in 2010 when we were talking with Wendy Lee about her English version of God Knows from Suzumiya. These fans, they tore it apart just because it didn't sync up to the vote to the mouth movements. And then she explained that sometimes it's the video's fault, the people uploading it, I was out of sync. And I think that can, that can be really cruel that they take it out on guys like Wendy, who, is just another phenomenal voice actress and, just one of the best out there, because of a simple video error. When you guys, pour your heart and soul into these characters. And that's really not the coolest thing. So, guys, if something doesn't sound right, don't bust Michelle's chops.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, if you don't have anything nice to say, then say it on 4chan. Leave her alone. She doesn't. No. If they want to talk crap, they can go to the biggest cesspool of the internet and they can talk their crap, where no one will see it, and it will be, and no one will be hurt by it. But like I said,
internet cesspool. I like that.
Yeah. That's what they call themselves. I don't call them that. That's what they call themselves. But anyway, we're talking about you voice some of the biggest characters in anime. I don't think you can get any bigger, and that's in more ways than one than this character. One of my all-time favorite roles you've done is Fujiko Mine from the classic Lupin the Third. What was it like working on the Pioneer version of the series, and what did you think of your character?
It was interesting because when I went into audition, I had been doing, some anime up to that point. And Fujiko was very different from any other anime character I'd ever done. You know, she didn't, I don't think she really fit, you know how there's certain archetypes for females in anime? I don't think she really fits into any of those archetypes. Like, she's just kind of in her own category. And so it was really fun for me because I didn't have to, I mean, we listened to Japanese preview, but I didn't have to match the Japanese actress's tone or her voice or anything. I could do whatever I wanted with it. So it just made it so much fun, you know, because I created this character that that I got to create, and the producers and Richard Epcar was directing at the time, loved it. It was like, yes, that's it. That's her. That is her. So, you know, when we were working with Pioneer, it was a great experience. And I've actually gone on to work with the producer, Hiraway, on some other projects. She produced Gurren Lagann later, so I've worked with her on other projects too. But, you know, she's kind of a risk taker, so that was fun, you know?
Yes, but like I said, no one could fill that cat suit just like you could. I mean, Fujiko's been done by many different voice actors. Edie Merriman, Michelle Seidman, Tony Barry, Dorothy Fon, Meredith McCoy. No. And I say this, I take this to my grave. Give me Michelle Ruff Fujiko any day of the week because she just made that character. She made her hot. She made her seductive, she made her sexy, and overall, she made her a badass.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, wait all right, see the next 13 episodes coming out.
Yes, and you know, I got a little rant I want to go on about that, but like I said, we'll go on about that a little later on in the program. Moving along, another character that, you know, is really cool that you've been playing for quite a while now is Rukika Kukichi from Bleach, which airs Saturdays
Rukia?
At midnight. Yeah, Rukia. You know,
Rukia
black hair.
Rukia.
Yeah, Rukia. Rukia Kukichi.
No. Rukia
Kuchki. Kuchki, are you sure it's not? Is that K silent? That's, I think it's a solid K.
I swear to God, it's Rukia Kuchki. I've been playing her for 7 years now. I swear to you,
okay.
On the Holy Bible, it's Rukia Kuchki.
Don't swear on the Bible. Don't do that, please. Please don't do that. Okay, you also play Rukia Kuchki.
There you go. You got it now.
I gotta say, she's gonna kick my ass.
That's right. My name is Rukia Kuchki.
I'm sorry, I don't got Chappie the Rabbit. Deal with the Dutch. We will take this. Yeah, if you don't like it, we will take this outside. I am afraid.
Yes, we will.
I am afraid.
We're a long ways away from each other.
Ooh, boogie, so scared. Well, anyway, you also play Rukia Kuchki from Bleach, which airs Saturdays at midnight on Toonami. G-pop. So what is it like playing her, and what do you think of the relationship she and Ichigo are in? You know, a love-hate relationship. They love to hate each other.
I don't think they hate each other. I think they, you know, they're like an old married couple, but they're not. You know what I mean? It's like they like to tease each other, and they feed off of each other, but I really think that they love each other on a, you know, like a brother-sister kind of level. You know, it's more of like a banter, a teasing. I think they have a lovely relationship, and they accept each other, and, you know, they have each other's back. I mean, God, Ruki is always getting in hurt or into trouble, and Ichigo will be there. No doubt, he always comes for her, so... You know, who wouldn't want somebody like that in their corner? I'll take it.
Not sure if I would. I don't know. But anyway, you know, Bleach has been going on for quite a while now. I remember when it first came out. That was a, oh boy, was that what, 2008 maybe?
Was it 2008? Yeah, I think it was before that even.
Let's check it out. Let's see what the internet says about. Oh, that. Well, wrong Bleach. That's Bleach Clorox Bleach. We don't want Bleach Clorox Bleach. We want Bleach anime. Let's see. According to Wikipedia, because they're always reliable, the series of manga has been around since August of 2001. So we're pushing 12 years. And
but we didn't start the recording in 2001 though. Well, I don't think we started it till.
It says here that Cartoon Network's Adult Swim began airing Bleach in the United States on September 9th, 2006. So holy crap, this year it turned seven.
Seven, yeah, wowza. That's crazy.
Currently listed are 366 episodes. What the hell? 366?
Not as many as Naruto.
Naruto
is like never ending.
This is the show that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on. according to this, the anime had an 8-year run. It ended last March. So hopefully, maybe you'll be getting near the end. But you know what? Maybe that's not a good thing. So knock on wood. You know,
we're coming to the end because, you know, they stopped making episodes. So once we have all the episodes that they've made, then it'll finish up here too.
Aww.
So, but it's been a fun run. I know it's been my longest running character and I love her. You know, I love Rukia. She's my fave.
She's a badass. I wouldn't want to mess with her in a dark alley.
I'll miss her. I will. She's like become a part of my life, you know. She's like a sister.
I know, we talk with a lot of voice actors about, you know, favorite characters, and everyone says that these characters are like part of the family, but, with the love that the series has gotten, you know, with the amounts of DVDs, movies, cosplays, even if the show ends, Michelle, Rukia will live on and forever in the hearts of many otaku and fans across the nation, the end.
Well,
and of course, you go into all these conventions, you can see all these Rukia cosplayers. I assume a fair share of Yukis, maybe one or two Fujikos, because not many people can pull off the cat suit. Trust me, I've tried.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody dressed as Fujiko. I've seen a couple of girls dressed as Yuki, or not Yuki. What do you call it? From Gurren Lagann.
Yoko
Yoko, I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah.
Yoko.
With
the flame bathing suit. Not Yoko, oh no. Yoko Littner. You know, with the flame bathing suit and the hot pants and the boots. And the couple of girls I've seen looked really great. I was like, oh my God, wow. That takes balls walking around like that for sure.
It takes balls to carry a gun that big around a convention center all weekend.
Yeah, that's true. Some girl, I can't remember where I was at recently, but some girl had made a gun, her big-ass gun, like, from the series and was carrying it around with her all weekend. It was so heavy. I'm like, oh, my God, you're crazy.
Well, hopefully she got it signed.
I did sign it.
That's the cool thing about these props. Even though they're big and awesome, you know, people admire them, and getting it signed by the person that plays the character for real, it's like a knighthood, essentially. It's just like being knighted by the queen, and but it's the truth. It's the honest to Pete truth. You know, you do a lot of great characters, and a lot of them, you know, it's really cool. But speaking of Yoko, that's another one of our questions. Another popular character you're known for is Yoko Littner from the popular Gurren Lagann. So what was it like working on that series, and what did you like most about Yoko?
Well, she was pretty badass too, you know, but I liked her because she was so volatile. Like, she was very emotional. You know, and kind of a firecracker, and she would just go off, you know, and she was easily teasable. Like, the guys would always tease her about a big butt, and, you know, she would get so mad, then she'd be like, ah, silly, awful, lad, you know, but and I just loved her. I loved that, like, unpredictableness of her, you know. And then there was, you know, I don't want to ruin it because some people maybe haven't seen it, but when a certain character leaves us, she gets very, very emotional, and, you
know,
there's that scene, I think she's in the cafeteria where I'm crying, and those were, like, real tears. You know, when I do a scene where I have to cry, I find something to cry about, you know what I mean? So those were, you know, I just loved how all over the place she was. But then I didn't like it that she became a teacher. I don't know. I didn't get that.
What was that all about? Yeah, what was that all about?
I don't know. I was boring.
So she goes from having this badass gun to teaching children. Wow.
Yeah, like what? Okay. Did they know her past? Like, how did that happen?
I have no idea. But, yes, it was.
Do a background check on her.
Well, this is like in the near future, like in the near distant future, you know, next Sunday AD and what all that. So maybe they don't have the computers that they have, and they can't check out what her background is. But then I'm not sure.
You got the whole backstory.
Yeah. Well, I'm not exactly sure, but yes, that was a very sad moment when a certain character left this great world and left everyone and who touched him made the life worth living. We will never forget you, Bret Hart of anime. Gosh, that was sad. We talked with that voice actor about it. We both agree that, you know, that was one of the greatest anime characters ever, who taught us to believe in ourselves, for he believed in us.
Oh,
that was. Enough of this soppy stuff. Let's move on. And now, of course, we got to talk about, you know, just another character that, you know, you've done well. Oh, by the way, blogtalkradio.com. This is the Dennis Daniels Show. We've got Michelle Ruff on the air, best known as Fujiko Mine from Lupin the Third, Yoko Littner from Gurren Lagann, and this next character, which I think was, I thought could have been a real challenge for someone of your caliber. Another role that was unique to me was, of course, Yuki Nagato from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. So what was it like working on that series, especially with a character that didn't really show a range of emotion like your other well-known characters? She just stayed in the same robotic state.
Oh, I know. My God. It was really, honestly, she's probably one of the hardest characters I've had to do. Just because, I mean, I can do that really well, but my voice kind of lends itself in normal speech to, you know, a little bit of a perky aspect. So I, you know, we had to really find it. And then she would have those long-ass technical speeches that were like, you know, where she's just blabbing away like a paragraph at a time about all of this, you know, nanosecond millimeters of blah, 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 blah. And I would have to stay in that range. And it was really physical, which is so weird because she's so emotionless and so, like, monotone. But it was like I would have to just be completely still. And I would have to, like, I had to kind of bend. It's weird. It came from a certain place in my diaphragm. And it was just like a workout doing her. I was like, oh, man, you wouldn't think it would be that difficult. But
I was Googling some quotes, and this is one that she says, and I'm going to try this with my best Yugi. An organic life, contact purpose humanoid interface created by the data interface through entity which supervises the galaxy. That would be me. And I'm like, well, slow down. You lost me after the word. And
exactly.
And you did this for what? 26 episodes for the first episode, for the first season. You did it in the in the Melancholy of Haruhi-chan, and then you did it for the second season of Haruhi, and then you did it for the Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya, which, by the way, awesome movie.
Yeah.
But I could not imagine just doing the monotone for that. I mean, just look at me. I'm crazy. I'm like, ah! I could not do the Bueller, beep, 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 0000010012, maybe a 3. But I could not imagine. But, of course, you know, you doing the great roles like that, that just makes you all the better for it. So you could do that. If there was a character like that in the future, you could do it easily.
I could, yes. But it would not be the same as Yuki. Nothing would ever be the same as Yuki. Yes.
I think that would be. I think that's a blessing in disguise, Michelle.
Probably. Although if Yuki ever came back, I would love to play her again. I was sad when she went away too.
Yeah.
Another one of my children.
Well, was she really a child, or was she more of a robot android cyborg?
She was one of my children. You know, I don't. I can't. I have to treat all my children the same, so it doesn't matter what her cultural background was.
Yeah, well, I say this with everyone that says that their characters are like their children. That must be a really screwed up family photo.
Oh, you are talking about one dysfunctional family here, for sure.
Oh man, I could make so many jokes, right?
Family photo.
But that's got to be one heck of a family. I would love to see that family reunion. I swear I would. I don't care who you are. That's funny, right?
That would be a fun family reunion. Anyway,
since everyone's your children, I won't ask what your favorite character is, because that's normally a really hard question for our audience, our guests to answer.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, so we'll skip that. That one will go bye-bye. So anyway, outside of voice acting for anime, you've also voiced for more than several dozen video games, including Catherine McBride in the hit Catherine, and Edna from the Disgaea series. I pray I'm getting that one right.
Disgaea.
Did I say it right? Disgaea. Gosh,
Disgaea.
That's the last. Is it Edna or Etna?
Etna, you got that one right.
Etna, okay. Good. That's the last thing I need.
Wait, how are you saying Rukia Kutsukudi Chiki? Kudi Kui Chiki?
Kui Chiki Kiki Chiki 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 Chiki. Yeah. Okay, let me at least get Edna right, because that's the last thing I need right now. Some little girl in a little bikini that doesn't even belong in that to begin with, chasing me down now, but... Let's get that. So anyway, like I said, you voice in several great video games. So you talked about video game voice acting differing from anime voice acting. So do you prefer one over the other?
I mean, anime, you know, anime and original is usually a little easier vocally wise. Video games can be vocally stressful. So I don't mind doing video games, and it's fun. Like, you know, I got to do a game last week. Well, I've worked with a really great director on a couple of different projects, which I can't talk about, obviously, because of NDA. But,
the NDA won't let me say, kids.
Yeah, the NDA won't let me say. But, you know, you get to go in and play a really cool character, and it's, you know, you're there for maybe an hour. You know, if it's not a huge, like some player games where you're actually playing the player, you're going to be there longer and there's more of a connection to the player or to the character. But if you're going in and playing like an ancillary character or, you know, one of the smaller characters, it's fun because you're kind of like, I would call it the expendable crew person, like from, you know, from Star Trek. Where it's like, you know, I'm the crew person in the red shirt that's going to get killed when we get off of the, you know, when we leave the ship. So you're you do things and then you're out the door and you're not, you know, it's like, it's fun and you're part of the game and it's cool. So I like doing that. I mean, that's cool. Obviously, Catherine was, you know, a much more involved character and I really enjoyed doing that too. So it just depends. But generally, I mean, I like getting involved with a character, you know. I like the meat and the bones of the character and the character arc and the story and the change that a character makes. So that to me is a lot of fun.
Well, I was looking at some of the video game characters you played. You played a lot of cool ones. I mean, you've gotten to play Jill Valentine from Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City and Resident Evil Revelations. You've gotten to play Crimson Viper from the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Street Fighter 4 and Super Duper Street Fighter 4. Okay, Super Duper, that's not it. Just making sure. You've got... And what's cool is that certain characters you play, you've also got to play them in their anime counterparts, like Crimson Viper and Etna from Disgaea and Street Fighter. You've actually gotten to play over in the anime crossover. So you know, sometimes the video game can carry on over into the anime aspect, and that's pretty cool. Especially if you get to play the and sometimes vice versa, which is in the case for Rukia, because you played her in Bleach Soul Resurrection. So, you know, sometimes you get to play the character in the video game and the anime, and sometimes you play the character in the anime in the video game. So, you know, so it's
That's like a
vice versa thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess if the anime title is popular enough, then they bring it, you know, they bring it to video game or, you know, vice versa. Like with Disgaea, I did the series first, and then I did the video game. So... like the series came first, and then now it's like all a bunch of video games. Like we haven't done a series in a long time, you know.
Yeah, it's like hey, if that means that you know you can do a classic character that everyone loves for some bizarre reason, because I don't know who would like a little girl in a bikini and have devil wings. That's personally not my cup of tea, but you know some people do like that. So
it's an overlord. Careful how you think about her now. She's another one of my children.
You know, I'm going to get my ass kicked by every member of your family. I can't say anything without getting my ass kicked on this show.
Yeah, you better watch out. If I ever see you on the street, sir, you are done.
I took crap from a Rukia cosplayer at Otakon last year. I ain't afraid to put up my fist. Well, actually, yes, I am. And of course, one of my all-time favorite games that you got to play in was, of course, Lupin III, Treasure of the Sorcerer King, which what I thought was a fantastic game. I don't know why it got so low scores. It was a lot of fun getting to play as Lupin. And you even had a little mini Fujiko mini game, and that was a lot of fun, where you would run around trying to collect hearts and stuff. That was a lot of fun. And of course,
I don't even remember doing that. Isn't that funny? That must have been a long time ago.
Well, we need to get you a PS4 and get you a copy of this game, because it's a lot of fun. Because you get to play. You don't really get to play as Fujiko, but then again, I guess you know she has to be in the background so she can trick Lupin out of everything, which you know is Fujiko 101. But anyway, speaking. I'm sorry. That's how I see it. But anyway, of course, moving right along. Speaking of the devil. Hot devil. One of your newest projects, and I'm proud to talk about this, Lupin III, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, hits shelves on Blu-ray and limited edition Blu-ray DVD July 30th. What was it like getting to reprise an awesome role and getting to work again with Richard Epcar, who played Jigen in the Genion dubbing, but now plays Zenigata in the Funimation dub?
It was really fun. I mean, I've never worked with Funimation before, and Chris Sabat directed, and you know, he called me up last year, and he was like, "Hey, you know, we got to reprise Fujiko, and are you interested?" And I was like, "Oh, Texas, huh?" So you know, it's like flying to Texas and you know, doing the whole thing, and it was a lot of work. And it was hard because we, you know, we recorded it basically in like a weekend. And then I went back and did a DVD special. So Richard was there. It was me and Richard and Chris and Mike McFarland and who else? Sunny, is it Sunny?
Sunny Strait,
who plays Lupin. So we all did, you know, we did the DVD extra, which will be available, I guess, when you purchase the DVD. And it was a blast, like, just getting to, you know, it was like just sitting there just chatting, you know, and they videotaped it. I'm sure, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure they edited some stuff out of it. But it was one of the funnest, like, DVD extra recordings I've ever done. So it was me and all the guys. Ujiko and the guys. So
now I gotta say, Michelle, when I heard that you were gonna be doing Fujiko again, my heart just like, oh God, heck yeah. Hell yeah. Yes. But then I saw the cast and I was, oh man, how could they screw this up? If you're gonna bring back the original Fujiko, you gotta bring back the ones that made the show great. You got, and this is nothing against Chris Sabin and Sonny Strait. I love these guys. You know, we just had Chris on the show last month, but Richard knows this. Richard knows this, that I'm not a really big fan of Chris Sabat's Chica because he calls Lupin boss, and that makes it kind of sound like Rocky from The Bugs Bunny. He's like, I'm expecting Lupin to go, all right, Chigan, point it on the light. And no, because I grew up watching the Pioneer version where it was you, Richard Epcar, Lex Lang, Tony Oliver, and Dan Martin, and it really just ate at me to know that only two of the five.
You know what? I know. And listen, I had a lot of trepidation about doing the show because they weren't bringing back the cast that I had worked with. And I really thought about it a lot, and a part of me felt guilty, and I was like, well, that's not fair, you know, I want us all to be back together and to do the show, but you know, Funimation didn't have the budget for that, because we were all LA-based actors, so they couldn't really do it, but Chris was like, you know, well, Fujiko, since the story is surrounding, you know, is about her, you know, he felt it was important to have me there because, you know, he felt I was the best rendition of Fujiko. So, and the content is pretty hardcore. You know, she's naked a lot and there's a lot of violence. So, you know, it worked out. I felt terrible. Like every time I saw Tony, and I love Tony Oliver. He's one of my favorite directors and actors, and I couldn't say anything to him about it. And, you know, he was Lupin when I was Fujiko, and he was such a great Lupin, and we had such great chemistry, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how this one all pieces together. You know, I'll be curious to see. I'm sure it sounds great, and I know Sonny, like I heard some of what Sonny did, you know, in the booth, and it sounded great. So, you know, I think Funimation, I don't think they're going to disappoint us. I think it'll turn out. It'll be great. And Fujiko's naked a lot. Did I mention that?
wait. What? Wait, hold on. What? Oh, boy. I don't know, Michelle. I don't know that. Oh, geez, let's see. Watch.
Is that an NDA? Did I just give away too much information?
Did I mention
Fujiko's naked a lot?
I don't know. I don't know. Hang on. I gotta. You know, I wasn't gonna buy this DVD. Now I gotta do the pro. Okay. On the con side, you know, Tony Oliver and Lex Lang and Dan Martin are in it. On the positive side, Fujiko's naked a lot.
A lot.
Now, I mean, how much are we talking nudity wise? I mean, I need a ratio here of, you know, what are we going to say, maybe one in every five scenes or maybe one in every episode?
I think there's at least one in every episode, but there's a lot of sexually graphic content.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas, Michelle. That's really making it kind of hard to resist. Oh, man.
Well, yeah. Get out there and buy that darn DVD. I don't know.
What should I do? Okay, Michelle. We talked about it.
And you got to buy it because the DVD extra is going to be really funny and you guys will love it. So you got to buy the DVD for the extra. You got to buy it, you know.
All right, hang on. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, Michelle. Okay, after taking a poll, we've decided, yes, we are going to buy The Woman Called Fujiko Mine. And you know what? If we can get an extra copy of it, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll even give away a copy on the program. So one of you naysayers can say it. And you know, on the negative side, you know, you don't have the original cast. But on the positive side, you got Michelle doing Fujiko, which I think, you know, might just balance it out a little and, you know, make it okay.
Chris Sabat was wonderful recording, and he was like, listen, you know, thank God we had you. He said, you made the show, you brought the show to life. You know, just because the story surrounds her, it was important to him to have a good Fujiko, you know. Yeah. I mean, everybody's good, obviously. Everybody's good. He wouldn't cast anybody that wasn't good. Everybody's phenomenal actors, and they bring their characters to life. But he was really pleased when I agreed to come on board. So
yes, I mean, a lot of voice actors are good. A lot of female voice actors are good, but you, Michelle, you're Fujiko good.
Thank you very much.
I love it. Moving right along, blogtalkradio.com, it's the Dennis Daniels Show. We've got Michelle Ruff on the air, best known as Fujiko Mine from Lupin the Third, and a whole truckload of characters that could all kick my butt. And of course, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine hits shelves July 30th from Funimation. And if there's only one reason you get it, it's for the Fujiko nudity. Get it. So anyway, I'm sorry. Now that's going to be the reason that they buy it.
Sorry,
they
Mom.
Ironically, that's a pseudonym you use. You use Georgette Rose as a pseudonym for when you're acting sometimes. And I find that pretty cool.
Not anymore. Oh. No, I just did that in the very beginning, but I don't do that anymore.
So anyway, are there any other projects or shows that you're working on that you could tell us about?
Well, I just revoiced, I don't know if there's any horror fans out there, but I just did, the Chucky Child's Play series, the movies with Chucky the Scary Doll.
Here, Chucky.
So I'm the new voice of the good guy, you know, the good doll, Chucky.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
No.
Yes.
No creepy dolls.
Little creepy doll. So that was fun. I got to work with the director on that, and it was cool. I mean, it's like a cult classic, you know.
Too scary for me, classic. Michelle. Too scary for me.
Oh God, I thought is this a
direct-to-video movie, or are we going to be able to see it in a theater near you?
I have no idea. I don't know if they do. They even release those movies in the theater anymore? I don't even know.
It'll probably be
on cable, and then you'll be able to buy it on DVD if you want it. I doubt it'll be in the theater. I'd be surprised. Mm. Although you never know. You never know.
Well, the movies keep putting Russell Crowe in all these different. Wait, am I thinking? No, let me try that joke again. Well, for some reason, Michelle, they keep putting Russell Brand in movies, so I don't see why this movie wouldn't have a chance in a theater.
I like Russell Brand. He's funny, darling.
Buddy.
He's funny, don't you know? He's funny.
But I don't see what's so I don't get half of the stuff he says. He just talks in an accent, and people want to give him all this money.
Because he talks very fast, and you're not sure what's coming out of his mouth. And he's very drunk all the time.
I don't know. I'm pushing it, him, just watching him in Despicable Me. I'm pushing it already. But, if I can give The Woman Called Fujiko Mine a chance, maybe I can give Russell Brand a chance.
There you go.
So,
don't judge.
I won't. So, are there any new convention appearances coming up that you can tell us about?
I have one in the works. possibly in Arizona, but it's nothing is set in stone yet, so I shouldn't really say. You know, I don't do a lot of conventions just because it's difficult for me to get away. I try and pick one or two a year that I go out to. So if this one works out, then it'll be the beginning of the year. But I don't have nothing set in stone as of yet.
Aww.
Nothing set in stone. I want to come to New York. I want to go to New York.
Yeah, I hear. I want to go to the city.
Yeah. I've never been to the city before. If anybody's listening, I want to come to New York.
three words, Michelle. Otakon.
I've been to Otakon in Boston.
You gotta come back for the 20th anniversary. If Otakon is listening, get her back for the 20th anniversary. She's worth it.
Are they under new management, Otakon?
To be honest, I have no idea. Let me check. I don't know. All I know is that we're doing press for Otakon this August, and we're really excited. They've got some great guests so far that we can't wait to do interviews with. And you're only going to hear them right here on the Dennis Daniels Show's Otakonathon 2013. So you might want to like us on Facebook. And, of course,
Dennis, did you just say Otakonathon?
Yeah, the Otakonathon. You take Otakon, little dash, A, little dash, thon.
Otakonathon.
With this interview, we are officially on the road to the 20th anniversary of Otakon. And while I'm plugging Facebook pages, I might as well plug. You actually have a Facebook page yourself. It's the Michelle Ruff voiceover fan page, and you can find it at facebook.com/ Michelle Ruff voiceover fan page. And that might be a little lot to take in, so we'll probably post a link on our Twitter page.
Thank you for doing that. Very nice of you.
You have over 1,100 fans or likes so far. Not bad.
Thank you.
I'm looking here. It seems like you're having a lot of fun, and for some reason, the photo of looks like Vic Mignogna hugging a clone trooper helmet for some reason. Weird. But then again, Vic is kind of weird too. I'm kidding.
He's weird. He's weird in a good way.
I love
weird.
Vic. He's a cool cat. He's a cool. But
he
I'm just.
Cool
I've been. I was checking it out, and you've done some. You got to do some cool stuff. I see a photo here from last year. You got to actually do something for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yes, I did. I did a couple spots for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
That's pretty cool. You know,
they do their spoofed scenes, and then they hire actors to do like the voiceover stuff.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you've done all kinds of cool stuff outside of just, you know, voice acting for anime. I know that you've done. I'm just trying to pull up. I know, and when I heard this, I couldn't believe this. I know that you were actually in the pilot for what I thought was the very popular cartoon, The Oblongs. You were in the pilot. You got to be in Lost, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Zen Tricks. You know, a lot of cool stuff outside of anime. So, I mean, it seems like you had a really cool career in just acting altogether. And, you know,
I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed.
Yes. Well, anyway, before we go, Michelle, we got a couple of listener questions out there because apparently some of our listeners want to ask you questions.
Let's take a couple for me. And I got to go.
Okay. We'll make this really quick. A lot of them are a voice request, so we'll try to keep them to a very minimum because, you know, you're probably tired from a long day of being an awesome badass voice actress. And humble to boot, kids. Here's our first question is from RKO2582. Out of all the characters you've done over your voiceover career, which one is near and dear to your heart the most?
Again, asking me to pick my favorite child.
Well, you could always.
I'm going to say Rukia. I'm going to say Rukia Kutsuki because, well, she's the longest running character. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, she's kind of like family now. So, you know, and I will really miss her when she's gone and we're not doing Bleach anymore. So I'm going to pick Rukia.
All right. Good answer. Good answer.
Thank
Go clap.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, another question we have from a listener, and this one's actually kind of a running joke on this show because we asked this with Wendy Lee and we asked this one with Karen Strassman. It's a question and a voice request. It's Could you guys ask Tsukasa Higuri from Lucky Star which side of a Chaco Cornet is the head, the fat end or the skinny end?
I don't know. I don't remember.
You never remember, Tsukasa.
For
all I know, I don't know exactly what a Chaco Cornet is. And I've been asked this question 3 times already. And I don't know. You got this little skinny end right there. You got this little fat end right there. Again, like I said, the only Cornet that I seem to know nowadays is James E. Cornet.
I don't want to see sports entertainment and flying donkeys all around. I think it's garbage, I think it's insulting, and I think it's a shame to a fine sport like this. Down south where I come from, they know wrestling. They were brought up on it. They grew up on it, and they respect it.
And that concludes the third part of this running joke on the show, because that was a guy named James E. Cornet. So, again, this starts back in 2010 when we asked which side was ahead, because the only Cornet that we really knew was this wrestling manager named James E. Cornet, because his name sounds like Chaco Cornet. It's a great joke, so all you got to do is ask Kerry Walgren about this, and then the joke is complete, and I think that's great. Well, Michelle, thank you for doing that. Well, anyway, before I let you go... What? I know that's me half the time on the show. Before we go, we have one final question we'd like to ask all our voice actors. Our show entertains a lot of people who want to get their start in the voice acting industry. Do you have any advice for those, you know, who want to get their start? The advice for the theater majors, the drama majors, mm-hmm. the voicing majors. Do you have any advice mm-hmm. for them to have some kind of prolific career like you've had?
You know, I would just say to practice your craft and enjoy what you're doing, and don't think about, you know, the money or where you're going or how, you know, it's like there's no direct path, and not everybody's path is the same. Like I know, you know, a lot of different voice actors who, and we all have different career paths. You know, we've all gotten to where we're at following different roads. So, but I would say the main thread is to, you know, be a good actor, and don't be afraid to ask questions of people and to ask for help. You know, I kind of like to pay it forward. There's a few people here in LA that I've helped and given advice to, and, you know, spent time with on the phone and emailing back and forth. And I mean, you have to just ask questions and tell people you're available and get with somebody to do a great demo tape, you know, and be a good actor. Big factor, and I always say improv is an excellent skill to have when you're in the recording booth. Improv is probably the best skill that I use when I'm in the booth, you know, because you got, with voice acting, you got to be fast on your feet. You got to be real quick, and, you know, you don't have a lot of time to think about stuff. So improv's number one, baby.
Improv number one, baby.
Improv number one.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you've had such a prolific career, and of course it's just beginning. I cannot wait to see you one day. You know, you're doing just your own show. You're doing heck, you could even do an improv show like those shows on the TBS and the ABC and all that stuff. You know, I think, and even if that doesn't work, you've got a voice that can bend, it won't break, it'll stretch, it'll spin, it'll twirl, it'll go upside down, it'll go 360 degrees. You've got great accents, you've got great tone, you've got great depth, you've got great characterization, and you know, I don't see any stop signs on your road through your, you know, already lengthy and longevity or longevitous career. And I think I cannot wait to see The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, which hits shelves July 30th from Funimation. But before we go, we got one. Can we ask Fujiko one question?
Sure.
Fujiko, on behalf of myself and Lupin fans around the world, we all want to know, when the fuck are you two going to get married?
Oh, don't be silly. We're never going to get married.
Well, that's okay, Fujiko, but you can always stick around with me, Dennis Daniel, the cult of personality, America's next big radio personality, the all-pay sensation. You can milk me for every dime that I got and everything I got afterwards, because, hey, I never get tired of the meat.
Because you're a sucker for big boobs. Come on.
I got to say, you're the breast. Oh, this was absolutely perfect. Oh, God. Unfortunately, guys, it is now time to wrap up the Dennis Daniels Show. Michelle, thank you so much for being
thank
on the
you,
program.
Dennis.
And it was
my
truly
pleasure.
A huge honor. Guys, get Lupin III, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, when it hits shelves on Blu-ray and limited edition Blu-ray July 30th from Funimation. You should be watching. And if you like the old cast, be sure to check out Lupin III Part 2 and The Secret of Mamo, now available on Hulu for free streaming. You don't got to pay a dime if you want to relive all the classic antics on there. And, of course, a lot of the shows Michelle's in are on there, like Chobits, Girls Bravo. I believe Gurren Lagann's on there. Again, all
wow.
these great shows. I know, all these great shows, and they're on Netflix. So there's no reason you shouldn't be watching. So, Michelle,
well,
thank you. Thank you so much for being on the program. And until next time, this is Daniel. This is the Dennis Daniels Show saying good night, Fujiko.
Good night, Dennis.